Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the PNGS Rewa Diamonds Jewellery Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Suyash Samant from Stellar Investor Relations Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We have with us today the senior management team of PNGS Rewa Diamonds Jewellery Limited, Mr. Amit Modak, Whole-time Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Aditya Modak, Non-Executive Director, who will represent PNGS Rewa Diamonds Jewellery Limited on the call. The management will be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the quarter ended 30th June 2026, followed by a question-and-answer session. Please note, this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of the company's future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statement to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Amit Modak. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
It's almost 4:30 past, so I will say good afternoon and good evening, both the teams. I myself am not doing well as health things are. There is a fever and cold, but still, I feel that I must join this call because the results were reasonably good as far as I personally think. It is an investor to take the call about it. The company is on track. The company is showing growth as it is perceived at the time of the getting separated, the business creating a brand, and it is working well. The studded jewelry market is growing. Performance. I personally think that what is expressed here is an opinion or the expectation of the company and its management. Investors should take due care before making any decision on their own. Thank you, and I now request Aditya Modak to continue on behalf of the company, and I am extremely sorry that I could not continue the speaking because my throat is not keeping well, health is not keeping well. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, sir. So good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Our investor presentation has been uploaded on the company's website and on stock exchanges, and I hope you have had a chance to go through it. Just a quick note that today's call will be limited for 45 minutes due to time constraints. If we are unable to address all of your questions during the session, please feel free to reach out to Stellar IR Advisor or send us a mail, and we will be happy to respond to you in your queries. We are pleased to begin the year on a strong note, delivering another quarter of robust growth. Our performance reflects the continued strength in our brand, healthy consumer demand, disciplined execution, and successful implementation of our growth strategy across all the formats. More importantly, this marks our second consecutive quarter of delivering over 100% year-on-year revenue growth, reinforcing our confidence in the long-term scalability of our business, the momentum, and the execution capabilities which we have built over the past few quarters. While market potential creates opportunities, it is our team's ability to capitalize on them through focused execution that drives our growth. We are proud of our team's dedication and agility, which have enabled the company to translate these opportunities into strong revenue growth. Let me begin by sharing some of the operational highlights for the quarter. Our inventory turns stood at 1.29x, during the quarter one of FY27, which is in line with the industry's accepted range for diamond, which is between 0.75x to 1.5x. As we expand our store network and increase inventory, we remain confident of maintaining a healthy inventory turnover throughout the turnover through our disciplined inventory management. Further addition to that, our average order value also remains around 1 lakh for the quarter Q1 of 27. These operational improvements translated into another quarter of strong financial performance. During the quarter, revenue from operations stood at 118 crore, registering robust 119.5% year-on-year growth, driven largely by higher volumes in terms of diamond caratage and highlighting the strength of our core diamond jewelry business. The gross profit for the quarter stood at 41.83 crore, reflecting the growth of 147.25% YOY with gross margins of 35.46%. The EBITDA stood at 33.92 crore, recording a growth of 192.88% YOY, while EBITDA margin stood at 28.76%. The PAT stood at 27.21 crore, growing it by 265% YOY, with PAT margins at 23.06%. The strong financial performance was supported by healthy consumer demand across our market, driven by festival buying during Akshaya Tritiya and healthy sales during the monsoon festival season. During Akshaya Tritiya alone, we recorded revenue of 12.7 crore compared to 3.5 crore in corresponding period last, reflecting a robust 268% year-on-year growth. This continued traction highlights the increasing customer's preference for certified natural diamond jewelry and growing acceptance of Reva Diamond. Our marketing spend in Q1 FY27 remained relatively modest, reflecting seasonal nature of our business. Historically, demand and consumer acquisition opportunities are significantly stronger from the end of Q2 through Q4. And accordingly, our marketing budget is planned to be deployed over the upcoming quarters rather than incurring upfront in Q1. While this phased approach is expected to support growth during the stronger operational period, it also means that profitability in coming quarters may see a limited impact to the extent of planned marketing spends. To support our long-term growth strategy and capitalize on healthy demand environment, we continue expanding our retail footprint with the launch of new COCO store at Amanora Mall, Pune on 7th of July, taking our total network to 37 stores comprising 3 COCO stores and 34 shopping shop stores with PNGS. We are pleased to see that our recently opened COCO stores are performing in line with the expectations, reaffirming our confidence in the COCO-led expansion strategy. Looking ahead, we remain on track to open 15 new COCO stores through the IPO proceeds, with 2 stores already operational. Our expansion will continue to focus on Tier 1 cities, along with selective entry into Tier 2 cities and key metro markets across Maharashtra and North India, further strengthening our brand presence, deepening customer engagement, and driving sustainable growth, long-term profitability growth. Our store expansion strategy remains disciplined and focused on long-term value creation. Each new store location undergoes a rigorous evaluation process involving multiple levels of approvals, detailed market assessment, and feasibility studies to ensure strong profitability and attractive payback potential. While funds have been earmarked to expansion following the IPO, our objective is not to maximize number of stores. Our objective is not maximize the number of stores opening in shortest period possible time. We are not evaluating stores solely on the ability to achieve operational sustainability or break-even. Instead, our focus is on locations that can deliver healthy profitability and attractive payback period, thereby contributing meaningful to company's long-term earning growth. As outlined in prospectus, we plan to open 9 stores during first year of following IPO, with remaining stores to be opened in second year. As on date, we remain on track to execute the expansion plan as communicated and expect to complete the rollout within the stated timeline. We remain optimistic about demand outlook also. The recent correction in gold prices is expected to support jewelry purchases ahead of upcoming wedding season and festive season, while the continued shift towards organized and branded jewelry continues to provide strong structural tailwind for the industry. Combined with expanding retail footprint, improving brand recall and focus execution, we believe we are well positioned to sustain our growth momentum in coming quarters also. We are pleased to share that the company's e-commerce website is also on track to launch by the end of August 2026, making an important milestone in strengthening our digital presence and expanding our direct-to-customer reach. With this, we would like now to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to take questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to only two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Prince Chaudhary from Pink Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congratulations on the good sets of number. Basically, I want to understand whether the EBITDA and PAT margins could be sustainable. And what were the reasons, you know, like economies of scale or the product mix change which led to the high margin in this quarter?
Yeah, thanks, Prince. First of all, you have mentioned that the economies of scale obviously played a great part. If you see, there is an increasing turnover by almost it got doubled. So, of course, the economy scale had played a part. And the better price realization for diamond on caratage basis was also a contributor there. So that's why the GP margins went up. And accordingly, the EBITDA and PAT margins also went up. But like I explained in my pre-note is that once we start doing marketing efforts in Q2, Q3 and Q4, obviously there will be around dent of 1 or 2%. On a PAT basis, but other than that, I don't see anything frustrating.
For the full year, how do you see these sustainable EBITDA margins approximately?
So, EBITDA margins, so the current EBITDA margins that we are talking about is 29%, and the PAT margins are around 23%. Like I said, 2 to 3% dent here. So, anything between 25 to 27% on yearly basis, and something between 20 to 23% on PAT basis is what we are expecting.
Understood. And second question: how do you see the demand, you know, outside Pune for natural diamonds?
So I think if you see the increase in turnover, it has happened. On vanilla basis in almost every city that we are in, almost we are present in 21 cities, and almost in every city we are seeing that there is a really good demand, and whatever the SSSG that has happened, it is across. So it is not just the concentration in Pune or one or two cities that are performing better and other cities are not performing better. That is not the case here. Overall, the traction for the natural diamond jewelry has gone up. Even the shift from plain gold jewelry to natural diamond jewelry is also seen in almost every shop that we are dealing in. So overall, the prospects are looking better.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you for answering the question.
Thank you.
Crazy.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Khushi Jain from Share India Securities. Please go ahead. Khushi, are you there?
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. I just wanted to understand that while the Akshaya Tritiya went really well, I just wanted to understand what was the volume growth in June and mid of July and what we are seeing ahead.
Yeah, hi Khushi. So I have the volume growth for the quarter. For the July, we haven't because the month is not closed yet. We don't have that. But the volume growth that we see in diamond caratage is more than 50% is what we have seen. Akshaya Tritiya, and also we had monsoon festival which was there in June 2026. So both have contributed extraordinarily, and that's how we saw this growth of almost 50% in quantity.
Okay. Also, thank you for the answer. On the inventory side, like how we are doing the hedging part, are we using the natural hedging side? Are we using more for GML? How it is that? How is that done?
Yeah. So I think so basically we do have a gold loan facility available as a limit from the bank. But currently we are not using that because the portion, gold portion is limited. So if you see the total inventory valuation, the gold portion is very short, and we are not doing any hedging on MCX. I think in previous couple of calls, Modoksar has explained why MCX hedging is deliberately, we are keeping it out of you know, our purview considering the volumes that we deal in. So the natural hedge that happens with, you know, periodically buying and selling of gold, that is what we are doing. And obviously, recently we have opted for gold loan, and we will be utilizing that gold loan in quarters to come.
Okay, perfect. Last question from my side. Could you just bifurcate the same sales growth on the COCO side and SIS model?
Sorry, can you repeat?
I want same sales growth on the COCO model and the SIS, the same the store in store one.
So all the triple HD that has happened is in SIS only, because all the COCO models are not even 1 year old since the opening. So there is no triple HD as such right now. But in terms of SIS growth that we have seen is almost 50% triple HD is what we have seen across the shop.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Harsha from Mirai's Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Hi, Amit, sir. Hi, Aditya, sir. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Sir, I wanted to understand that Triple SG, you answered to a former participant, the Triple SG is 50% is on a year-on-year basis, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, okay. And one more thing, actually, just a bookkeeping question, that the other income has jumped to 5.6 crore this quarter. From I think 30 lakhs, if I'm correct me if I'm not wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yes. So is there any specific reason for that?
So all the IPO proceeds which are parked in our bank is yielding us our interest, and that is getting accounted for.
Okay, okay.
We keep it in FD.
Okay, that is entirely the interest income, right? Treasury income basically. Okay, and sir, can you give bifurcation on the finance cost, that what is pertaining to the lease part, because some part of lease we charge to P&L, right, on the COCO stores, and some part would be, you know, the normal interest on those.
Just give me 1 minute, I'm just extracting that, give me 1 minute. I think can we just move to next question? Meanwhile, my team is extracting that. As soon as I get that value, I'll explain it.
Sure, sure. No worries. I'll join back with you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask any questions, you may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. We have our next question from the line of Keshav Biyani from SBSPL. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on great set of numbers. Sir, I have just one query. In the bookkeeping question, there is change in inventory of finished goods is 30 crore. How is this number determined?
Sorry?
There is an item in expenses, change in inventory of finished goods. Value is 30 crore. So how is that number determined? So this is some profit on sale of, or is it some inventory revaluation which we are getting benefit?
This difference between opening and closing, sir.
So this is because our sales has gone up, so that, because of this, you have kept more stock?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the routine phenomenon?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Even in the previous quarters, you would see the similar numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Year-on-year, it was there, but this number was a bit higher, so I just thought to reconfirm.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask any questions, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Harshit Pandey from Blue Star Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations for good set of numbers. Sir, my question was, is there any upward revisioning our guidance, sir, as we have delivered fantastic Q1?
Sir, can you repeat? Your voice was cracking.
Yeah. So I was saying, is there any upward revisioning our guidance as we have delivered fantastic Q1?
So, we honestly, I think Murugavel would have been a better person to answer that. As you always said, that we want to, you know, underpromise and overperform. So this is what I think, that there is no different guidance that I have received from him. So I think the guidance remains same, but at least we are more confident on what we had promised previously, that we will be able to deliver.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best, sir.
Thank you. And, I would like to answer about the finance cost that was previously asked by someone. So, out of total 27 million, almost 26.53 million is the pure finance cost, and about 0.95 million is the interest on lease liability. So, yeah.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask any questions, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. We have our next question from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
For the opportunity, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sir, you know, in this quarter, have you seen some impact on the sales following, you know, Prime Minister Modi's request to, you know, slow down a bit on gold consumption, gold buying, and people, you know, going back to exchanging more gold instead of purchasing new gold jewelry and, you know, so any impact of the same on our sales? It actually doesn't reflect in the numbers, but has there been any views on how the sentiment is at the retail level currently?
Yeah, that's very much a relevant question. But what we have saw in our, you know, group company, that is P.N. Gadgil & Sons, is that obviously there has been a dent when it comes to the plain gold jewelry, which Prime Minister appealed to the, you know, everyone. But about diamond jewelry, I think the customer preference and the way customers are looking at this particular diamond jewelry is completely different from gold jewelry. It is more utility-based. So there is no, you know, investment buying as which happens in our case. So obviously there is an investment buying, but the component is lower. If you see, even our product also is almost 40% is gold component, rest is diamond and making charges. So I think the impact which was received by plain gold jewelry as compared to you know studded jewelry was bigger. So we haven't got impacted, honestly. And overall, the optimistic flow from our customers is what we are observing since last two quarters. So I don't think there is a point of concern in remainder of the year around demand about natural diamonds with it.
So because I'm actually, if you look at the performance of our sister company, PNG's Gargi, their sales have slowed down quite considerably in this quarter. So I was just relating the two, like, their sales have slowed down to 11%, which would be the lowest since its listing. So, and in our case, we have done significantly better than them, like almost grown by 120%.
Of course, so obviously, we would be answering that question in that call. There are different reasons than the PM's announcement.
Sure.
Obviously, it will be taken care in that call. Thanks.
Sure. No issue. And sir, just, next year, let's say FY28, 29, how do you see the sales split between SIS stores of our parent company and EBOs in next 2 years? And how do you think that, the same will impact our, margins and, overall return metrics, since this will EBOs will curtail to investments, they'll take some time to reach break even, and so if you can share your views on how the EBO what will be the EBO sales that you are expecting in percentage terms in FY28-29, and how will that impact our margins going forward? And overall, in overall scheme of things, how should we see the margins going ahead with increasing EBOs that we are opening up?
Yeah. So I think what we are expecting our EBOs to perform is that the EBOs which are in Maharashtra should get its BEP in a first year, and which are opened outside Maharashtra should get their BEP in like 15 to 18 months from the start is what we are expecting. I have already explained that 9 stores we are planning this year, 7 stores will be next year, and it will slowly start contributing in our top line. In couple of years or 3 years down the line, like you have said, obviously the dependency on PNGSS would go down from where we are today, which is almost 95% of the dependencies on PNGSS, that we are looking at going down to the tune of 20-25% in years to come. And obviously, eventually, after 2 to 3 years, the EBOs also will be considered, if they reach to a stock turn of like 1.25 to 1.5, they will also start significantly contributing to the PAT level. So I don't think so. There would be any revision at PAT level that can be ascertained right now. So I think there won't be that much of dent, because even the PNGSS will grow in years to come. So obviously that will also continue to contribute to the top line and bottom line. So I don't think so. There is any revision in that we are anticipating in PAT level. But obviously the contribution, top line contribution, would come down. For PNGSS and EBO's contributions will go up in years.
So as you are saying, 1.25 to 1.5 is an optimal inventory turns at which our EBOs should start generating profits, or where they should break even. Is that the correct understanding?
No. So 0.75 is where it break even. And when it reaches like 1.25, it starts making reasonable profit. And anything beyond 1.3 is like a supernormal profit that are getting generated. Yeah.
Okay. So at 0.5 inventory turns, we start breaking even, and above 1.2, we start making substantial profits.
Correct. 0.75 is breaking.
Oh, 0.75. Okay. Thank you so much. I wish all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Harsha from Mirisis Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So I just noted down the points that you said, and sir, I just wanted to ask that how are we facing? Can you add some color on how competitive are lab-grown diamonds to us? and what is the competitive intensity? You know, are they hurting us, or you know, our brand is actually playing out? You know, that would be your first question.
So the competition from lab-grown is not that significant because predominantly we are dealing in star veil and minus two kind of diamond. So in that particular category, the price differential between the lab-grown and natural diamond is not more than 10 to 15% on a product basis. Obviously, in pointers market, there has been a dent overall. But if you see Indian market also, almost 95% of the diamond jewelry market is star veil and minus two. So I don't think so. There is any major dent that we are observing in players like us, and even for us also, like almost 97% of our business is in smaller diamond. So we are not feeling any heat from our lab.
Okay. Can you repeat the diamond category, please?
So it is said, so basically smaller diamonds, the technically they are called as star melee or minus two diamonds.
Star melee or minus two diamonds. Okay. Okay. And one more thing, sir. What kind of inventory turn can we expect on an annualized basis for FY 2027, 2028, maybe 2029?
So currently we are having 1.29, and I think those are so basically it will be between 1.1 to 1.4. Honestly, very difficult to tell you because if you see our previous year also, Q1 has almost contributed to the tune of only 15% of annual turnover. So we are there right now. So anticipating it going ahead is difficult. On top of that, obviously, we will be opening EBOs. So if the EBOs are opened in, fag end of the year, there would be some dent to, mathematical calculation of stock turn also. So it's very difficult to, anticipate or forecast that today. But on ideal basis, if we consider every store is working for 1 year from 1st April to like 31st March, and if we make that assumption, then I think we will be able to sustain the stock terms that we are having right now.
Okay. And if I can squeeze one more.
Sorry to interrupt you, Harsh. May we please request you to rejoin the queue? There are several participants waiting for their turn.
Sure.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pranav from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, due to sound quality, I missed the volume growth number. That is one. And about the store opening guidance, can you just give me split of EBOs and franchise for the year? Thanks a lot.
Can you repeat the second question? Sorry.
Can you give the store opening guidance for the year? Thank you.
Okay. So to answer your first question, the volume growth that I explained was more than 50% on caratage basis on diamond. So that is what I said. And secondly, the plan that we are having is like already quoted in our plan, IPO plan, that in first year we will be opening say 9 stores. And 7 stores in second year, and out of which out of those 9 stores, 2 are already open, and we are already negotiating, and there are stores in pipeline. As soon as it gets materialized, it will be given on exchanges. And all these stores will be.
Thanks a lot, sir.
There won't be any franchises.
Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rahul Kumar Paliwal from Shefa Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity here, and congrats for the good set of number. My question is it fair to assume that next 2 quarters will be better than this quarter, considering the festive seasons and the consumer upliftment in the coming quarters because of the same?
Hi sir, thank you. So basically, like I explained, I think Q1 generally contributes to the tune of 15%, and Q3 and Q4 are like the best quarters in any financial year for jewelry industry. So usual bifurcation is that almost 35% would be H1 and 65% should be the H2. and that has been the, you know, general rule of thumb when it comes to, you know, jewelry, and that is what has happened also with Reva in previous year. So obviously, the Q2 would be better than Q1 historically, and Q3 and Q4 always yield to the tune of 65%. So this is what we have seen, and this is what we are also anticipating this year.
Got it. Got it. Probably with the 27 crore this quarter, we are probably expecting around 80-100 crore PAT for this year. That's the assumption we are taking, actually. So my second question is, trade payable fell a lot from 30 to 20 crore, while the business is scaling very high. So is it because we are paying fast or some renegotiation with the suppliers?
So I think it is not directly related to how the quantities are coming and out. So generally, maybe towards the tag end of last year, it would have been, you know, raised, and the credit period is still due. So that is why the payments were not made or something like that. So there has not been any, you know, material change in payment policies or something. Maybe the, you know, payment cycles would be the only thing to look at to see why there is, you know, a decrease in trade payable as such. But there is no material change that has happened in any terms that we are doing with our vendor.
Got it. Got it. Got it. And my final question is, probably there are concerns coming out from investors that once we roll out more COCO, there will be a dent, and you spoke about in margins and inventory turn as well, right? So can't we, I have a two-part in this. Can't we magnify them through scale and efficiencies and probably better product mix or the volume average value orders? That's question number one. Question number two is, can you give a larger picture where these COCO stores you are planning to open more in Maharashtra side or outside your comfort level going outside Maharashtra? And time period, 24 months is what you suggest in DRHP. Is there any aggression on that target?
So basically, to answer your first question, obviously, the EBOs will start contributing to the top line, and it will be rolled out in such a way that we will reach the, you know, their contribution to 20-25% in like two to three years down the line. But like I was explaining, if we are able to generate, you know, stock turn of anything above 1.1 or 1.25, then there won't be any. I don't see any dent on, you know, PAT or EBITDA margin. So there is no revision as such. So like you explained correctly, maybe in the next, you know, presentation, we will try to inculcate these points also in our presentation for better investor understanding. So that is point number one. Point number two, like you asked about the expansion. So the strategy remains same, that we will be concentrating on tier one, tier two cities in Maharashtra and metro cities in north and south of India. So that is been there, and that is how we will be doing it. About the aggression or not, so like I explained that only making that particular shop, you know, BEP is not the aim. Wherever we put up our shop, we want to make it, you know, profitable and contributor to the PAT. And that's why our process of, you know, identifying, verifying, and finally concreting our location is very thorough. So rather than speeding, what we want to do is, you know, slow and steady wins the race. But at the same time, we will make sure that whatever the timelines that has been stipulated and whatever the timelines that we have already promised, we will deliver the number of stores that we had explained. So yeah, so that is the plan. There is no material change in what we had decided earlier.
Got it. Makes sense. All the best to you on the team.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Harsha from Mirae Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So I wanted to ask that, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in last investor presentation, so our AOV was around 129,000 for March 2026. And in this quarter, I think it is at around 1 lakh rupees. So is the seasonality the reason for the difference, or is it something else?
So generally, so if you see, there is a seasonality to our business. Obviously, the Q2, Q3 quarters would have a larger AOV considering the festive periods are on the corner. If you see last quarter, I think the AOV was 112,000, if I'm not wrong. And right now, it is 1 lakh. So I think hardly a dent of 7%-8% is what we are looking at here. So I think so it is about the seasonality. I think in Q2, you would see a better AOV, and in Q3, the AOV will be the largest one because it will consist of the Dussehra, Diwali, and festive and wedding purchases. So yeah.
Okay. Okay. Understood, sir. And one more question, sir. In one of my calls, actually, with Modak sir, he had told that we are going to increase the marketing activity a lot in Q, maybe H2. So is there any plans for any brand ambassador or something like that, sir?
So of course, we are in hunt. There are certain negotiations going on, but it is very difficult to promise you right now unless it is formalized. So obviously, the efforts are going on in background. If someone is getting signed, once they are getting signed, we will be uploading on. We will give that announcement also. But what I can assure you is that the efforts are going on in background. Right now, as of today, we don't have anyone.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Prashant, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you. I think all my questions are answered. I just have one question. For our EBOs, what is the break-even period on an average?
So for EBO within Maharashtra, it will be 1 year. And we have opened 3 EBOs, out of which 1 EBO is more than 6 months. And what we are looking at that we are fairly in line with what the expectations are. So that is point number one. Outside Maharashtra, soon, I think in 2 or 3 months, the EBOs will start coming up. And what we are anticipating is that the BEP period would be between 15-18 months for stores outside Maharashtra.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Darshil Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So my question was regarding the 200-300 basis points margin impact for the full year, which you mentioned. So does that consider the EBITDA losses from the 9 new EBOs which we are planning to open this year?
No. So basically, I was mentioning about the marketing spend, which are very low in Q1. So obviously, there will be a ramp-up in marketing expenditure once the festival season is around the corner. So there will be some dent because right now, the PAT margins are between, I think, 23%-24%. So the 200 or 300 basis points that we are talking about will be largely impacted by the marketing expenditure that we will take in Q2, Q3, Q4, where the main seasons would start. And obviously, there will be some dent by fixed costs of some EBOs, but that won't be very material because most of the EBOs would start in H2. So the expenditure would be for average on an average 4-5 months. So yeah.
Right. So if my understanding is correct, then the margin impact would be more led by the marketing cost than by the fixed cost of the EBO, right?
Correct.
Right. And secondly, sir, just a bookkeeping question. So we had a short-term debt of about 166 crores at the end of FY26. So what is this debt regarding?
So it was WCDL taken at the start of, I think, a year for the procurement of for the BTA settlement. And that has been now, I think, repaid. 120 is part of it is repaid, and currently, it is around 120 or something.
Right. So, so do we plan to clear this off by the end of the year?
It won't be cleared entirely, but as and when we start realizing profit, and if it those are not disposable to any new opening, because almost all the EBOs that we are planning will be are funded by the IPO proceeds that we have. Obviously, anything over and above that will be repaid. But I'm not sure that entirety will be repaid this year.
Right. So by going by this, our quarterly interest cost should go down sequentially, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. And sir, if I can squeeze in the last one, so the we do not plan to take debt to how is our EBO expansion plan post these 15 EBOs likely to be funded? Like, do we plan to take debt or from internal accruals primarily?
So primarily it will be through internal accruals. Eventually, if the good opportunity comes, obviously the phase-wise decision will be taken. But I think for the next couple of years, we are almost sorted.
Okay. So thank you. Thank you so much, and best of luck for your future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. And I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Modak for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yes. So thank you all for joining us today and for your continued support. As always, we remain available to address any of your follow-up questions. Please feel free to reach out to us directly or through our investor relations partner, Stellar IR Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of PNGS Rewa Diamonds Jewelry Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.